Welcome to Inside Jag Nation, a weekly podcast that gives you an in-depth look at the South Alabama Jaguars. You can find a new podcast uploaded weekly online at usajaguars.com or take the podcast with you on your smartphone by subscribing for free on iTunes. Just search South Alabama Jaguars.
Welcome to Inside Jag Nation, the weekly podcast of the University of South Alabama Department of Athletics. I'm Associate Athletic Director for Media Relations, Brian Freeman, and visiting with us this week is Head Men's Golf Coach, Ben Hannon. Coach Hannon, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Brought you in as a guest this week. There's been an interesting announcement earlier this month that we put out. You'd been the coach for 13 seasons, and last spring you decided to change paths in your career, and actually this last year served as an assistant athletic director for athletics development. Well, now that you're back in the coaching, how excited are you to be back on that side of it rather than working administratively?
I'm glad to be back and excited to get going. Obviously, coaching is its own arena, its own game, and it's a great fun to be involved with the players and competing and having that opportunity come down the crunch to be part of that. So that's always fun. Certainly enjoyed administration, learned a tremendous amount. Under the circumstances, it was a good opportunity. It made sense for me to get back to coaching the team.
It may be too early to answer this, but being on the other side of it, and not just in that role in development, but then obviously working with other facets in the athletic department, other areas, is there anything that you gained from this last year that you think, oh, I can apply this moving forward as I get back into coaching to help both myself in this role and the program long term?
Absolutely. Again, stepping outside into a new role, learned a lot of different things. Above all was all the facets that go into being a successful athletic department and the roles that individual plays. And I think I've become more aware of how much of a team we are, from administrative to coaching. And in my own individual role, certainly the relationships that I developed, the different day-to-day tasks that I had to accomplish, no doubt will make me a better coach. And then, of course, stepping back for the last 11 or so months, you gain a different perspective. It's really been an awesome experience to go to all these different sporting events, because before I was always competing. Well, the last 11 months or so, I've been able to watch football, basketball, volley, I mean, every sport we play. And sports that I never saw prior. And so as a former coach, I would watch all these situations on the courts and in the fields and watch coaches and how they handle situations. And I learned so much from my peers that there's no doubt it'll help me moving forward as a coach.
You know, when you think about it, what strikes you? What do you miss the most about coaching, and most excites you as you get back into it this month in the summer?
Well, the best part about coaching is relationships. You are obviously coaching a sport I love, but the people you do it with. I think the older I get, the more the relationships matter, and having the opportunity to be involved with young men as they compete at a game you love and really experiencing successes with them and failures. You grow close. It's a family. And again, being here for so many years, being a former player, there's just so many people that have been involved in this program over the years that it's the relationships that matter the most to me.
What did you miss the least about coaching that you just are like, well, you know, I'm glad to be back, but...
Oh, boy. I don't know if we got... No. You know, I guess probably every coach is... it's always playing time, right? What makes golf hard, unlike any other sport is that we may have a team of 10, 9, 10 guys, but only five get on the bus. And so golf is it ebbs and flows. Great players can struggle at times, and it's always trying to figure out who your best five are at that given time to give your team the best opportunity to win. And so, you know, always the difficult decisions that come with what five do I have to get on that bus? And you know, there's going to be individuals who are as deserving as anybody else to get on that bus. And those are obviously the tough decisions that you have to make, but it comes with the job. But I suppose if I had to pick one, that, you know, that's always the hard part, but a needed part nonetheless.
Well, you know, with your return coming this month, the announcement was made after student athletes went home, after the spring semester concluded. So with most of them not here in Mobile on campus, and anyone that might be doing summer school doing it from home online, what's your summer plan? What are your real short-term goals of what you want to get accomplished before student athletes return and the fall semester starts in the middle of August?
Well, we return basically the entire team, of which I have a personal relationship with, and we've got a very solid recruiting class coming in. So it was reaching out to the individuals that I didn't know that are coming in and introducing myself and getting to know them, and then obviously contacting the team as well. Once everybody was on the same page, it's getting out recruiting, working on the 18-19 class, and really trying to set things up. We had a little shift with the schedule. We made a slight adjustment with that, but really just tying up. We host the Steelwood Intercollegiate, or help host that, and so there's a lot of work with that. Recruiting, just really the nice thing is it never really slows down, so you jump back in the water and start swimming hard.
As you mentioned, you know this roster pretty well. You've got seven student athletes who played last year returning. It's a lot of experience, some more tournaments than others. But I know that there are a couple guys who have to overcome some injury obstacles. But too early to set goals for the coming season, or is that something you'll worry about in August and September when you're practicing before going to that first event?
Yeah, no, I mean, certainly this is a talented team. They did great things last year as a group. They had some fantastic events, some fantastic rounds, tremendous talent really from top to bottom. You know, in terms of the goals, these are things that would like to go over as a team. So it's probably too early for me to sit here in May and say, oh, it's X, Y, and Z. But I'm very excited about the group. Again, they showed what they're capable of last year and really from the year before made incredible strides and had a tremendous year as a group. So hoping for me, I'm hoping to contribute and continue to build on what they accomplished last year.
Visiting with head men's golf coach Ben Hannon on Inside Jag Nation this week. In 13 seasons as a head coach, on your resume, you've taken the Jaguars to four NCAA regionals as a team. You've had six individuals compete in a regional or the NCAA championship individually. So success on the biggest stage is something that you're familiar with. And I know that, I mean, obviously, I think it'd be a great grand plan that, okay, we want to beat the NCAA championship every year. But it's a difficult task. And it's not been done here. And you had a couple teams come really close to getting to that final step. What would it mean to you to cross that final barrier and get this program beyond a regional to an NCAA championship?
Well, it'd be a wonderful check I could put in the box. As a former player, as a person who's an alum, who's been around the program, who's coached the program, being part of something that's never been done is always would be a, obviously an awesome feat and something that would be forever remembered. But there's so many people who have gone into getting the program where it is right now. And, you know, when that is accomplished, whether I'm a part of it or not, it's going to mean so much to so many people. And you know, I think that college golf, particularly now, is so competitive that it takes a group, it takes a team that buys in from the very get-go, and it's selflessness, and it's putting the team goals ahead of personal goals, and there's so much that goes into it. But no, it would certainly be a memory I'd remember for a lifetime, and something that I would cherish for really all parties, just because so many people go into making a dream like that happen.
Now, we mentioned the athletic accomplishments. That also includes leading the Jags to Sun Belt Conference championships in 2005 and 2010. You've had 13 individuals that were named All-Conference 26 times during your first stretch as coach. But you also had 10 guys who earned academic All-American honors from the Coaches Association 15 times during that same stretch. Now, a lot of times people look at it and say, well, you know, you can be good in competition or the classroom, but you have to sacrifice one for the other. But you found a balance of where you had success in both. And how did you do that? How did you come to that balance?
Well, I don't know necessarily if it's what I did. We have been very fortunate to recruit young men who understand the importance of academics and are committed to being the best they can be athletically. So your players have to understand. I mean, at the end of the day, I don't hit shots, I don't make putts, and I no longer have to study and take tests. So at the end of the day, it's a group of guys who understand the importance. And from the top down, again, stepping out of administration, our number one goal is to graduate our players. And that takes precedence. And you know, I think that tone and that goal is very clear from the very beginning. And certainly through the recruiting process, people know the importance that we as a program place on the academics. And again, we try to recruit student athletes who understand that, accept that challenge, because it's people don't understand from a golf standpoint. When we go on the road 36 whole days, I mean, we leave a hotel at 5:30 in the morning. We don't get back till 6:37 at night. And that's after, you know, maybe then grab some dinner on the way back, depending on. Guys have to take tests. It's really a tribute to all those student athletes that have played over the last 13, 14 years and prior with this program, and the commitment that it takes to be a good student athlete.
On the off chance that there are future student athletes listening to this podcast and interested in getting to know you, what would you say that you are looking for when you're on the road now recruiting in a student athlete? What are the attributes that stand out to you that are most important as you try and figure out who's the best fit for the University of South Alabama and the men's golf program?
Well, again, they have to adhere to the understanding that they're a student athlete, and we want young men who take pride in their academic accomplishments as well as their athletic accomplishments, and the understanding that you can do both and you can be successful at both, but it does take a commitment and it does take a tremendous amount of effort. You know, above that, this program is a family. It was a family when I was here. I think this department is a family. And I think that it's very important for us to find players who are excited and want to be part of the South Alabama program, the South Alabama men's golf team. And taking on that role and the pride in knowing what has come before them and building on what is to come when they leave. And so it's really getting that student athlete who buys in and puts the team, the program before himself, and willing to commit to the work that it's going to take to get where we want to be.
visiting with head men's golf coach Ben Hannon this week on Inside Jag Nation. Originally from Mason City, Iowa. So that leads to the most obvious of questions that I could ask on behalf of our listeners. How does one end up coming from Iowa to the University of South Alabama?
Well, for starters, being from Iowa and a golfer, I had a general idea that I needed to head south to play more than I was certainly at home. How I ended up here, gosh, goes back a number of years, but kind of funny, I guess God's plan. And we, my parents were going through town and were stopped to visit. They were on their way to Florida, stopped to visit some family friends who asked about me. And they had recommended to maybe go look at South Alabama. At the time, it was blossoming. It was new. It was up and coming. The program was starting to have some success. And so my parents, I was not here. My parents happened to come over to campus and were able to meet with then Coach Hal Williams, and spent the afternoon with Coach. And gosh, next thing I knew, I was on a plane down here, and boom, you know, 4 or 5 years later, I got a degree, and the rest, I suppose, is history. But I couldn't have scripted it any better. It has been an incredible experience as a student athlete, and you know, I came back to take over the program I once played for because of the incredible memories and the incredible experiences I had here at South.
So, to give you credit, and I'm sure as our longstanding relationship as SID to the golf program, you know this pains me to have to do this publicly, but to give you credit, as a student athlete, you were part of 3 Sun Belt Conference championship teams. And you also at one point were ranked in the top 20 in the league in scoring average. I mean, you could play, and the teams you were on were really good. As you said, Coach Williams was getting it going in the right direction at that point. Is that something that you use with either current student athletes or recruits in terms of kind of maybe a little bit of credibility for yourself as you're bringing them in here?
Well, as you said, I played with a group of really talented players. You know, we had a guy by the name of Heath Slocum who carried the load for us, and a ton of other good players. I mean, gosh, you know, I for fear of leaving somebody out, we had a lot of very, very good players, and I was fortunate enough to just be part of that, and those guys carried the majority of the load. So again, I learned from my teammates and had great experiences, and because of their talent, certainly shared in some successes. But you know, we have a in the golf complex, in the suite, we have a Wall of Champions, and up there are pictures from every conference championship team, the individual conference winners, just different highlights of our program. I am fortunate enough to be in a couple of those pictures because of the guys around me. So no, I can't. If you play with me here, I guess I don't play too much anymore, but it would certainly not be my game that gives me credibility. So that's I guess that's all that needs to be said about that.
All right. So your senior year was the first time South Alabama men's golf went to a regional. The 91 and 92 teams, your first 2 years, won the Sun Belt Championship and didn't. You ever look back and wonder, do you know, have a feeling how well those teams could have done if offered the same opportunity beyond the Sun Belt?
Yeah, I mean, the whole game, the collegiate game has changed from the selection process to how you get in. It used to be regions back then, and it's just a completely different game now in terms of the process of how you get to postseason play. What I can say is you know, we had some incredible talent on those teams, and they would have gone a long way. I mean, they won multiple times. They won multiple conference championships. You know, I just to throw out some kudos for my boys. Yeah, we could have competed with a lot of our teams and successful programs that we had, certainly now and going forward, at least with the upcoming reunion. That's what I'm going to stick with.
So you end up earning your degree in 1994, and you earned it in English. How did you come about that decision of what you were going to major in, and did that play any role, or what, you know, sort of, maybe the question ties in, maybe it doesn't, but when, at what point did you figure out that the coaching career was the path you wanted to follow?
Well, in terms of my undergraduate degree, my mom was in education. A lot of my family is in education, and there was always kind of fostered a love for reading. I enjoy English. I enjoy writing. Certainly respect the profession. So for that, it was a good fit for me.
When did you think seriously about, hey, I want to be a coach?
Well, yeah, with regards to coaching, when I left here, I had the opportunity to start to work in the golf business as a teaching professional at some different institutions. I didn't necessarily have an idea about being a coach. It just kind of evolved into that, and then an opportunity presented itself when I was working and teaching in Charlotte, North Carolina, and I got the opportunity to take over, be the first head golf coach at the University of North Carolina, Charlotte. And again, you know, life happens while you're making plans for something else, and that's kind of what happened here. But once I got into coaching, I loved it. I loved every aspect of it. Again, I mentioned the relationships before, but again, just being around a game you love and having the opportunity to share that with others is a blessing.
So as you mentioned, you worked at a couple of instructional schools for 5 to 6 years there in the late 90s. What's the difference between coaching a college program and coaching / instructing at a school that's more of, I think, more lesson based and on an individual basis?
Yeah, well, interestingly enough, I think I'm a better coach because of my experiences. For a number of years, you stand behind a camera and you try to make players better by getting them to be physically better at swinging a golf club. When you move into coaching, it becomes more of a numbers game, and you start to try to make players better through management, through practice, through how they go. Certainly the physical side of it is important. Again, you have to hit the ball in play, and you have to, game, you know, you hit it closer, it certainly helps to score better. So there's an aspect of that, but the two sides are completely different. One is very technical based, and the other one is very numbers based, in the sense of how can we help this person become a better player. And so I think one leads to the other, but it allowed me the ability to help my players develop on both sides, both physically and from an overall game standpoint. And to the other aspect of having some technical background is it helps me in the evaluation process with recruits. You know, you can look at a person and say, okay, if we can get a little better at this, this upside is really high here, as opposed to, well, we might have to rework the wheel here. It's a 2-year process. Is this, you know, and you can be upfront with people on the recruiting process and tell them what you think and where you see them fit in your program. So again, I wouldn't have changed a thing. All the experiences have helped me to be where I am now, and I think giving me the opportunity to be the best coach I can be.
Now, we've talked a lot about academics as well in your role as head coach at South Alabama, and while you were coaching, you pursued and eventually received your master's degree in education in 2014. How hard was it to get that done while also trying to run a program and compete successfully on the course and in the classroom?
Yeah, that was a long few years. I just because of the time commitment, I could only take one class at a time, and I kind of plodded along at it, and I really had to be very time sensitive and organized. There were a lot of Saturday mornings where if we were not on the road, I would wake up very early and study and write. And then when my kids would get up, we could have a Saturday as a family. So again, I tried to fit it into the spaces in my life where at the time, I wasn't affecting either my coaching or my family and grind away. But I tell you, it certainly gave me an appreciation for what our student athletes go through, because it was a grind.
Our guest this week on Inside JAG Nation is head men's golf coach Ben Hannon. When did you start playing the game, and in a broader sense, how does one get good at the game of golf playing in Iowa, where you certainly are not playing year round?
Well, I started playing very, very young. My background is really, my father is a retired PGA Master professional, so I grew up in the business. He was a club pro at the time. He eventually opened his own business, his own clubs. He was an exceptional teacher. So I always kid, you know, while other kids were watching cartoons, I was watching golf swings. And the other joke is I never had a chance to really do anything else. So I was going to do golf something. But I grew up around the game, again, through my family, around good players, good teachers. I played hockey as well growing up. And I guess, you know, both ball and puck are on the ground, so that's somewhat the same plane. I grew up at the club, and from a very young age, I was playing, and thankfully I was okay at it, and had the opportunity, like you said, to play in college. So it's been a part of my life since I can remember, and certainly experiences with my family even to this day. So it's been great. You know, I go back a couple Christmases ago, and we had four decades of Hannons playing over Christmas break, and to see my dad and my son and my brother, it was great, and so very thankful.
You know, there are lots of us who attempt to play the game and do so poorly. And there's a lot, you know, it's a game, it's a sport that lends itself to a lot of, I think, frustration, patience, persistence. You know, even with a family that's got it ingrained in them and all that, I'm sure that you hit some spots along the road where it's like, what am I doing, and why am I doing this, and why don't I play another sport more? And, you know, now that you can look back on it, how did you find, what was it, just the relationship with your dad that kept you interested and progressing along, or did you have bouts where you thought, you know, maybe it's not for me?
Yeah, oh man, anybody who's played golf for any amount of time has wanted to snap every club in their bag and go bowling. Absolutely. You know, golf's, it's just those that play golf, and I know you do, you love it. It's at least one time around. Even now when I do get the opportunity to play, which is very infrequent, I will still hit one shot where I'll think, man, I got it, you know, and so you come back and of course you don't, but it's, I think what draws individuals to the sport is the fact that you can't beat it. You'll never win. And so it's that constant striving to be better than you were, and to accomplish something that is impossible to accomplish. And again, you know, it's the ultimate teaser game, because you hit that bucket of balls, and man, those last 10, you stripe them, and you roll out to the course and boom, high right, you know? So it's like, I don't know. It's an up and down game, but that of course is what's appealing to it. And it mirrors life. It doesn't always go your way. Good things happen. Bad things happen. You hit good shots where you miss club and it buries in the back bunker and you make a double out of nowhere after a perfect golf shot. So it is, in my opinion, it is life's reflection. And in order to be an accomplished player, you have to be able to deal with adversity. You have to be able to handle circumstances that aren't always fair and that are ever changing. And you know, I think because of those circumstances, it draws people in. And once it's got you, I mean, it's all over.
So if we get done with the podcast, go out across University Boulevard, Azalea City, you will shoot a what this afternoon?
Oh, I'm not being suckered into that one. I said I hit about one good shot around, but I'll be back again because of it.
And you know, obviously you have this love for the game. So after a long tenure in leading the Jaguars to numerous championships, regionals, NCAAs, you know, when you hit that time where you're gonna retire and get out of the coaching business, your expectations are to play how many times a week?
Yeah, I'm gonna make up for lost time. You know, I always say if my golf game is good, then I'm probably not helping those I should be helping. But no, when I retire, I mean, I'll look forward to that day where I hopefully got that crew of, you know, three guys. We got that foursome where we you know, trade a bunch of you know, pennies over the course of years, and it all adds up, and nobody does anything. So now it'll be, like I said, I love golf, and it's a game you can play with anybody, and you can play it really until almost till the end. So I'll look forward to trying to keep at it.
Head men's golf coach Ben Hannon is a guest this week on Inside Jag Nation. Before we let you go, got a few set questions here where just want the first thing that pops into your mind, kind of as quick as we go. We'll blow through the last couple minutes and let you get on your way. Coaching is obviously a very time-consuming business. When you have free time, what's your favorite thing to do?
I love to grill and smoke. I got into smoking a couple years back, and don't let my wife hear, but I will, or if anybody sees, but I like yard work. I'm not very good at it, but I do like yard work.
What's your favorite sport outside of golf?
Obviously, being in the Southeast, you got to like football, but over this last year, I have become I'm a closet basketball fan. I'm a basketball junkie. I love it. I think it's an awesome sport. It moves fast, the ebbs and flows of the game, and watching our Jaguars. I love South Alabama basketball.
What's the best athletic event you've ever attended as a fan?
Oh, let's see. Man, I've had some great ones. Let's see. Best athletic event I have ever attended as a fan. I tell you what, I was at New Mexico State when they, at the Pandemonium Dome, I believe they call it, when the UNLV came in and we, last second shot, we beat them at undefeated at the time, back in 89, 90. It was, but that was I remember that one. That was an awesome event, and gosh, you know, the Masters. I've been very blessed. There's been, man. That's a good one. I'll go with that.
And on your bucket list, athletic events you've never been to, need to go. What's number one on the list?
Well, my youngest son has become a Steph Curry fan all of a sudden, and he loves basketball now. So I'm going to say because of that, I'm going to shoot for going to a Golden State Warriors game with him. That'd be on the bucket list.
What's the best vacation spot you've ever been to?
Well, I met my wife on the Grand Strand. She was in the North Myrtle Beach, and I at the time was working in Litchfield, which is just south of Myrtle Beach. So we got married in Beaufort, South Carolina, and so that whole area has always been a great spot for us to go, just because of the family ties. And really just to kind of get away and relax. And too, I'd be remiss if I don't say on the odd when time permits to grab the family and sneak over to the Dolphin Island is a great getaway for us as well.
You got one chance to book a trip, dream vacation to a place you've never been. Where are you going?
Never been. Where am I going? I tell you what, you know what? I'd like to go, I'm going to say Australia, Sydney, Australia. How about that?
Favorite movie?
got to go with Caddyshack and Fletch. I'm a, Airplane original. I'm an old comedy guy back when, you know, it wasn't the old comedy. So yeah, Caddyshack.
Yeah, I think if that wasn't your answer, I may ask Dr. Erdman to reassign you. Good choice. Yeah. Favorite book?
Favorite book. Wow. I tell you what, how about this? When I am not, I've really gotten into autobiographies lately and reading about people and different events. But I tell you what, instead of favorite book, I'm a Ken Follett fan or Vince Flynn. Kind of espionage. I really have gotten into those. So I'll say I like those types of books.
Favorite musical artist?
Favorite musical artist. Wow. This would show how unhip I have become, right? I like a lot of different music, types of music, but believe it or not, I have gotten into country here in the last few years, and I can see that pains you, but yeah, I'm a country fan. I don't have one in particular, but I like some country, and of course, classic rock. You got to love the 80s rock.
I can believe country. We live in an area where we can hear it on the radio frequently when we're driving around. Last question, we'll let you go. When they come back here in a few years and you and your buddies are trading pennies on the golf course and they say, we're going to make the Ben Hannon story, big Hollywood director comes in, who plays the starring role in the movie?
Oh, boy, starring role. One of our former players always said I talk a lot with my hands, and I believe he always referenced Kramer from the old Seinfeld sitcom. It just kind of being all over the place and bouncing around. So I can't even remember his first name, but
we're Michael Richards.
Yeah, there you go. So no, starring role. I don't know, somebody who doesn't take themselves that seriously and enjoys other people and. I can assure you I'll never be on a Hollywood movie.
Oh, you can try and assure us you can't make that determination for sure. Head men's golf coach Ben Hannon, the guest this week on Inside Jag Nation. Coach, appreciate the time. Wish you best of luck moving forward.
Yeah, no, thank you very much. Thanks for everything you do.
Inside Jag Nation is a production of South Alabama Athletics. Any rebroadcast or distribution of this podcast without the express written consent of South Alabama Athletics is strictly prohibited. Remember, you can find a new episode of Inside Jag Nation every week on USAJaguars.com or have them automatically uploaded to your smartphone by subscribing for free on iTunes. Keep up to date with the Jags by following us on Twitter with @USAJaguarSports and @JagNationUSA. Thanks for listening, and go Jags! Wow!